Please give me more. Nom, 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 nom.
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4, powering up. Mark 17, powering up. Mark 44, powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to house party protocol.
Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today is Big Timer Nate from the Gamers Guild. I mean, what a whirlwind of time for you there, my guy. What's happening?
Not much, man. It's been a crazy few months and a crazy few more to come. So,
ain't that the truth, though? Yeah. So. Crazy few months in that we had Adepticon. You were pretty heavily involved in that. And then also, you were blessed from those on high with reveals. Way to go, you.
Yeah, I got to got our hands on the Spider Foes and Web Warrior goodies and got to share some Team Tactic cards with everybody and our thoughts, and it was kind of a cool opportunity.
Yeah, no, that's really awesome. And maybe one day I'll get to do some fun stuff like that too. Maybe one day. But alas, we can't all be you, Nate. And man, I just got to say, look, that's really awesome. And I'm glad to see that Atomic Mass Games is involving the community in that way because, you know, we've seen the painters like Sarastro and the battle report channels like Aegis Brand Studios with Leland, amongst many, many others, get their hands on product early to showcase it. And I think it's really cool to see AMG reach out to people like you who have been a part of this community for so long. I mean, before the game even really came out, and say, hey, here's some stuff and do the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And PCN crew also got to do an unboxing of all the stuff as well. So don't want to leave them high and dry by any means. But
of course,
it is really cool to see AMG connecting with creators and giving us the opportunity to do cool stuff like that.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, I can figure out some time to start making video content and all that stuff. But alas, the fact that you were able to share that with the podcast crew over there at the Gamers Guild podcast is also a really wonderful thing that gives me hope for an eventual future. So,
yeah, absolutely, man.
You know, with that said, Nate, I've been delaying doing a giveaway because it's just time and compiling names and all of that stuff is just, I'm just not good at the logistics stuff. Like, I need a secretary or something. Like somebody that can just focus me or like help me with the minutia of everything, because you know me in real life and people listening to this podcast feel like know me too in a way, but I'm a lot, you know. Nate, would you categorize that as fair?
I categorize that as fair, but don't you have a secretary named Rob?
No, I have a dad. It's named Rob. It's the Discord dad. You know, he's got his job. This is the thing. It takes a team, okay, to keep this train rolling down the station, mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
But needless to say, it is mostly me with a few very dedicated people that are just absolutely wonderful. And they know who they are, Rob especially. Thank you so much. But been running a giveaway, and we're doing a Nightcrawler and Bishop box. But stay tuned for the rest of this episode, because more fun things ahead. But I'm going to stop delaying this giveaway and just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off right now. And look, this was a small one, so it wasn't our biggest giveaway yet, because look, it's one box, right? Cool. But at the same time, I think it's cool because now we get to give that to somebody. So I've put everything in the Facebook comment picker. We got a ton of extra entries. The Mark V patrons of the Patreon have got their bonus entries. So here we are, Facebook comment picker, going to hit the button right off the rip. And it's Tony Micelli. And his comment that won, this was from Facebook, his comment was Terminator 2 was his favorite like future movie thing. So Tony Micelli, actually, it's really cool that he won. He is very regularly the first person after a show to send me a code. Like, he's the first one I see that has sent me a code. So it's like dedicated listener. So Tony, thank you so much. I'll be in touch and we'll get you your box here. But like I said, more fun things to come in this podcast. So strap in. And Nate, we have a lot to talk about. There have been a myriad of spoilers for MCP lately that I am way behind on. So we're bringing it back to the old days and we're doing two characters today.
Ooh la la.
Ooh la la indeed. But first up, we have Shocker, which was spoiled for us kind of recently in the panel to play. And Nate, this is a character that I think is really interesting. And a lot of us from our generation fell in love with this character from the Spider-Man animated show.
Mm-hmm.
And like so vibrant, so much energy, pun intended, and just like such a fun character on that TV show that to see this character come to life on the table, I think is really awesome. And the first thing we're going to do is take a look at this model. And I mean, AMG, hats off. You nailed it.
Yep, absolutely. And I personally also really love that he is on a 50 millimeter base because he has an effect on him that's very similar to Black Bolt's, right? It's kind of got the wave on the ground showing what's kind of going on.
Yes.
And not having that overhang on the base is going to be wonderful.
No suspect measurings, as it were. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've all had to measure off a Rhino, and we have to turn him booty facing forward.
Yep.
I mean, look, it's Rhino. He leads with the booty.
Yep. And, like, it's going to happen. Dallas and the sculpting team come up with amazing things, and they want to have those things on bases, and so there's sometimes some awkward overhang. So be it. But when the option to just be like, hey, you do your awesome thing, and we have the option to not let it affect gameplay where you have to like turn Black Bolt around or those kind of things, love to see it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, that 50 millimeter base is awesome. And this is one of those costumes that, with the way that they appear to have sculpted it, like, y'all know I don't paint too much, but I caught a little bit of the bug at Adepticon, and fun fact, that's been, 3 weeks hence we did that?
Something like that, yeah.
And I caught the bug, and I hadn't painted a single thing until today when I started painting some of my blackout miniatures from that
mech
game I bought thing, whatever it's called. It's called Blackout, BLKOUT. Check it out, give them some love, all that stuff. Anyways, I finally started painting my models for that. And I look at Shocker here, and I'm like, man, Slapchop, my friend.
Yeah, Slapchop's going to work really well on the recessed padding for all of his, like, yellow areas.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't go that route, just, like, a nice wash is going to do wonderful magic on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to a lot of my painting when it comes to MCP. And so, like, this is one where if/when I were to paint this model, it'd be totally traditional here. But I'm excited to see what the community comes up with in terms of color schemes and stuff, because this is a cool one.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, with that said, Nate, let's take a look at Shocker's character card here. And we have Shocker with an alter ego of Herman Schultz, which, I gotta say, if I give this box away, I kind of hope Schultzy wins it. Because it just kind of makes sense, right?
Yeah, checks out.
Yeah, totally checks out. So Herman Schultz, alter ego. I don't think this character has another version in the comics that I can think of off the top of my head. So if we ever get another version of Herman Schultz or Shocker 2.0 where he upgraded or something like that, you can only have one of these on the table at the time with that alter ego. So we have a top stat line of 4 physical defense, 3 energy defense, and a 3 mystic defense. He has a stamina value of 5. He has threat value 3, size 2, and he moves medium on that 50 millimeter base. You'll love to see it.
Yep, not a bad thing at all. And really, just for a 3 threat, like, this is very typical. He's got a slight buff to the physical defense over, like, the typical 3 threat frame. I guess is one way to look at it. So all in all, a solid start to the character.
Absolutely. And it's worth noting, literally nothing changes on his injured side between all of this stat line plus his attack and superpower suite. So keep that in mind as we go through here. But I read this and I think to myself, wasn't the internet going crazy about Shocker potentially being a 2 threat for the foes? And we see that he's a 3 threat here. How do you feel about that, Nate?
I wanted him to be a 2. I won't go so far as to say like it makes me sad or anything like that, but I wanted him to be a 2. I feel like every affiliation, except maybe like Black Order and Asgard, deserve to have a 2 somewhere in there.
I mean, to be fair, I think Asgard totally deserves to have a 2, and it needs to be the one of the Warriors 3, just one of them.
Yeah, but what do you do with the other guys?
Then they're the Warriors 2 on a separate base.
No.
Okay. What if the Warriors 3 combined only made up a 2 threat?
That would just kind of be like an awkward sad kind of a thing.
It would be wild.
Like, you need all 3 of you guys to like not even match up to what Sif is probably going to be or Valkyrie.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. But anyways, we digress. Herman Schultz, the Shocker here. And I see this stat line and I think to myself, but wait a minute, he's the Shocker, but he's 4 physical. Why is he not more energy? Nate, please explain.
He's just a dude with some gauntlets, right? Like, he doesn't have superpowers. He is a villain via technology. And so... maybe his suit has that extra padding, helps with the physical attacks, but like he doesn't have any like superpowers that make him energy resistant, right?
Right, exactly. And it's worth noting that his shocking gauntlets, air quotes, they're not like electricity.
Yes, it's more like a concussion blast kind of deal, right?
Exactly. So I just think it's funny that he's called the Shocker, but he's not actually electrocuting people, but he wears like an electric resistant suit, I think. It's a whole thing. But anyways, Nate, tell us about Shocker's attacks.
Yeah, speaking of his shockwave, his first attack is a physical vibro shock strike. It's range 3, strength of 5 for no power cost. It is a builder, which means that after the attack is resolved, he'll gain equal to the damage dealt by the attack. As well, if he gets a wild in the roll, after the attack is resolved, the target character will gain the stun special condition.
Man, that's spicy. All
good stuff.
Yeah. I gotta say, I really like this. It doesn't have the before damage is dealt stun that we all wish for on a builder someday, but that'd be too crazy.
Spider-Woman?
That's what I'm saying. It's too crazy. Yeah. She's so good.
It's too good. It's too good. Let's be real.
Yes.
But I love it.
Yeah, don't we all? If you haven't played Spider-Woman, just do it. You'll be happy. But this Vibro Shock Strike, pretty standard stuff, but on that 50 millimeter base with a medium move means turn 1, the midline attack is in play.
Yep, and getting stun on a key model early, you're obviously rolling dice and just kind of hoping for a wild, but that could be really devastating. Additionally, he has Shake Him Down. This one is an energy attack. Also range 3, strength of 7 for 4 power. This one just gives you a stagger if you roll a wild, which is still pretty powerful. I think this is similar to what Iceman has for his spender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very similar. I think, let me take a look at Iceman here because, you know, we always got to compare notes or something like that. And I do think it's very similar. We've seen a lot of other three threats that have builders that are similar where they have a cost because of the effect. And Iceman's specifically here, it's range 3, 7 dice, only 3 power, which I find to be interesting. Same effect, though, also. Just a wild stagger. Yeah. That's the only effect. So I find it interesting that AMG said, wait a minute, guys, this might be too good. So let's make it 4 power.
You know what I mean? I'm just kind of doing like shrug emoji. Like, yeah, I don't get it. I won't pretend I understand the full thought process that goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah. I mean, same. It's one of those things where I think it's maybe an instance where because Bobby just came out so recently, we can compare these two and say, well, wait a minute, one of these things isn't like the other. But if there was a lot more time spread out between these characters, we could maybe be like, okay, cool. But I don't think it messes up what Shocker's trying to do anyways.
No. And Shocker only has one other thing that he's really spending power on anyway, which is what you're about to talk about.
Exactly. So he has a couple of superpowers. The first one is a reactive superpower called Vibrational Shield. Not to be confused with Vibranium Shield. It'll cost you 2 power when this character is targeted by a physical or energy attack, it may use this superpower. So that's your trigger right there. That's why it's reactive. Add 2 dice to this character's defense roll against that attack. I said it wasn't to be confused with Vibranium Shield, but Nate, I think we've got a confusional shield here.
It's it's pretty similar to some Vibranium armor on Black Panther, isn't it?
It sure is, my friend. But you know what? This is awesome, honestly, and with the rest of Shocker's kit that we're about to talk about, it's only a couple things. I think this is actually really good. So let's talk about what's left on his card, and then we'll talk about the character as a whole. So we have an innate superpower, so this is always active all the time. If the ground is rockin', don't come a-knockin'. It does that second part's not in there, but whatever. When an enemy character within range 2 of this character makes an attack, it rolls 1 fewer die on its attack roll. And then he's immune to stun. Makes sense. Nate, that's awesome.
Yeah. Hello, Honey Badger with a incinerate that's not incinerate. Here is Shocker with a shock that isn't shock.
Yeah, and also range 2 on the 50 millimeter base, which is a lot of distance.
It really is. It's really significant, especially if you get on some of those more clumped up scenarios.
Yeah, and when you factor in that shock, not a shock, with Vibrational Shield, when you have a Shocker on the table, there's a bubble of safety that he can more or less create for himself in a lot of matchups, right? Like, we all play this game, or if you're new to this game, welcome in. You're about to have a lot of fun. But one of the things that I gotta say is the ranges in this game are pretty long in 2024. The close up in your face stuff still happens very regularly. Would you agree with that, Nate?
Absolutely. For one thing, you have, like, if you were sitting on an objective and your opponent also wants to sit on that objective, you are automatically within range 2 of each other.
Bingo.
So, bingo. Like, it's just going to happen.
Yep. And when you factor in the fact that with this, if the ground is rocking, then also, he has a range 3 attack, so he can be shutting down the people around him while also affecting people further away than his bubble, which I think is a really interesting combo, frankly. You know, it's something that this seems, when I read it, really good. And Nate, I saw a lot of discourse online when Shocker's card was first revealed. It was a lot of meh, like a proverbial meh.
Mm-hmm.
But I see this and I think to myself, this dude should see the table very regularly and be able to win a lot more one-on-one matchups with characters like Luke Cage or characters like Honey Badger or, well, Honey Badger, not exactly a great example, but X-23, you know, Wolverine, these characters that have only these range two attacks. And it's like, you know, they're really good characters, but they got to be up close and personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I, yeah, you know,
I think the one that comes to mind is Valkyrie for me personally,
mm-hmm.
because all of her attacks are that range to, I think X-23, her spender's range three, right?
Yeah, her spender's
just range to poke three. Holes in what you're saying and stuff. But
yeah, I appreciate that. You got to keep me honest.
But yeah, I think he is a lot more durable than he looks on paper, kind of a thing, because with the ground rocking plus the vibrational shield is just going to put him in a pretty good situation as long as they're in close counter.
Right. And I mean, think about some of the current big bads of MCP, right? You've got characters like Malekith, like Hulk, like Beta Ray Bill. Malekith's had a little bit of a step back, I guess, from the limelight, but he's still a really great character. What does he want to do? He wants to be right in your face at range two using ferocity every turn. Like, yes, he has a long range mystic attack and it's a strong attack, but if he's doing that, you're okay with it because then he's not using ferocity, right? And one of the primary ways to deal with Malekith was put shock on him. So if you're able to subsequently get shock on him and get him into a position where he's having to attack a shocker, then I think that's kind of interesting. I mean, maybe that's a little like, oh, Malekith's 7 threat versus a 3 threat. He's going to one-shot him anyways. I don't know. It just seems interesting to me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Malekith is not going to like to see the spider foes, frankly, between Shocker and his ability to reduce attack pool, as well as the next character that we'll talk about here in a second. And so I think Shocker is... I don't think he's going to necessarily want to see the table every single game, but I think when you have scenarios that are clumped up or you're going into an affiliation that is light on the ranged energy attacks, I think Shocker probably shows up and ends up putting more work in than your opponent is expecting.
Yeah.
However, on the more spread out things or going up a team like Guardians of the Galaxy, probably Shocker wants to stay at home and eat corn dogs or something.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I don't know. Does he eat corn dogs or?
I mean, the suit just kind of like the color pattern on the suit just is like, yeah, that's a corn dog.
That's totally a corn dog. I mean, he definitely could be a carny, and I would assume that at carnivals you eat corn dogs or, you know.
What else do you eat? Yeah, like funnel cakes and corn dogs. That's right.
So, real talk. When we have a carnival here in Memphis, we have a fair that comes every year. It's called the Delta Fair. It's a fun time, good stuff, right? So a giant foot-long corn dog, what do you call that?
A foot-long corn dog?
Exactly. So in Memphis, they call them prono pups.
What?
Yes. Yes. I'm not kidding you. There is a Prono Pup truck, P-R-O-N-T-O-P-U-P, Prono Pup. And it goes to all of these things. And my wife, when I said, oh, yeah, that's a corn dog, she's like, a what? I'm like, yeah, it's a corn dog. She goes, you mean a Prono Pup? I'm like, you mean a corn dog, Memphis. Thank you very much. You know, we just be ratchet out here in Memphis, my man. It is what it is.
Yeah, man, I feel you. I mean, like, Nashville hot chicken is a thing apparently everywhere now. And it's not Nashville hot chicken. It's just hot chicken. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's funny. It's one of those things where everybody has their own thing, their own unique thing. And with Shocker here, he's got his ground is rocking. And, you know, Nate, when you combine him with his friend, that also comes in the box who actually does have electricity powers, things get a little spicy.
Yeah, it's a real shocking turn of events that Shocker doesn't actually shock.
I really think it is. But also, with that said, I love the theme and how, like, yes, he does not actually shock people. So, like, it just, I love that AFG nailed the theme there. And funnily enough, he has a boxmate who does shock people. And that is the one and only Electro, Nate. But before we get to Electro, I've got to do another special thing that I said I was going to do. So let me do that real quick. And that is, we're going to do another giveaway. That's right. Another giveaway tonight, because I have been behind on life. And so, yeah, I'm going to just do another giveaway. It's going to be with the same entries that came from the Bishop giveaway. However, with a little twist, Nate, are you ready for this? The twist is, every one of the suits that is a patron gets an extra entry with the people that are the Mark V patrons. So, like, the super patrons, I guess. I don't know what to call it. But those people, they get an extra entry. So they get, like, bonus entries. Normally they get bonus entries, but now they're about to get, like, more bonus entries.
So it's a lot of bonus entries.
It's a lot. And I'm excited to do this. And Nate, I think we've got to give away a Foes box.
It only makes sense.
It really only makes sense. So, yes, so many extra names in here. Let me compile these. But I'm excited to do this. This is one of those things where it's like, I'm kind of combining a lot of things all at once here, I guess, in a weird way. But at the same time, I just want to give back to the community that's been so great to me. And it's one of those things where it's so great that I just can't do enough to give back. And this is my simple way of giving back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyways, let me get these bonus entries here. Compiling. All right, cool. So check this out. 500 and 29 bonus entries.
Woo!
It's insane. So here we go. We're going to run the numbers and we're going to see what happens. And we have got Eric Steiger. I hope I said that right. You have won this giveaway. That is, of course, from one of the extra entries. So thank you so much, Eric. You've been with us for a long time, my dude. So I got to say, I really appreciate that. And it's really, again, good to see the people that are a part of our Discord community and a part of everything here. And Eric is a Mark V patron. He's been here so long. Like, I think he's one of the first. And to see him win this giveaway is really awesome. So, Eric, thank you so much. You have won a Spider-Foes box. I'll be in touch when the box drops. I'll make sure you have it. Anyways, Nate, Electro, are you ready?
Electro, a shockingly good time.
A shockingly good time. And man, again, AMG nailed it with the model.
Mm-hmm.
Just nailed it. Like, man, I love it so much. Like, classic Electro, and just, again, it's a model that inspires me. I want to paint. You know what I mean? I want to paint that. I love painting green, and then yellow sucks, but the green is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, like, the thing that this sculpt, I look at it and I'm like, man, Storm floated so that pieces like this could fly.
Yes. I mean, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. I couldn't have said it better myself. So, yeah. And he's on a 50 millimeter base. So, dreams do come true. Yeah. So, we've got Electro. It's Max Dillon with his alter ego there. He has a top stat line of 3 physical defense, 4 energy defense, and a 3 mystic defense. He has a stamina value of 6, a threat value of 4, He is size 2, and here's the bingo. He moves short. So that's sad boy times. What do you think?
Only a little bit, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, look, there might be more to this card than meets the eye.
What?
I know. But, Nate, this top stat line seems really legit. I enjoy a nice 4 energy defense, 6 stamina, always a good thing. And worth noting, nothing changes on his injured side.
Yep, gets to keep the total 12 stamina, which is always nice to see on a 4 threat.
Absolutely. So, Nate, why don't we talk about his attacks?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first up, he has his energy electric discharge. This one is range 4, strength of 5, costing no power. It is a builder, so getting power equal to the damage dealt. And, shockingly, on a wild, you get to give the enemy the shock status condition.
And the shock status condition is so great. And we didn't mention this when we went over stun, but stun, if you would gain more than 1 power from an enemy effect, or any effect, really, actually, it's any effect, you would only gain 1 instead. I forgot to go over that earlier. So stun from Shocker, you only get 1 power. So like someone like Beta Ray Bill, if he is stunned, he only gets 1 power in the power phase, sad times. Whereas if you would normally take power equal to the damage dealt for, say, an attack or when you were attacked, you only gain the 1 power for the stun special condition. Nate, what does the shock special condition do?
Shock special condition will reduce your dice pool when making an attack by 1.
Oh, yeah. So those 4 dice attacks, they become 3 dice attacks. Gross.
Yep. Very, very impactful against those kind of targets.
So you mean against the Web Warriors?
What?
Yeah. Yeah, super bad. But I love range 4, strength 5 energy attack. And with the chance for a wild shock, I mean, what's not to love there, Nate?
All good things.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, a medium base with a short move range 4 attack. That's a midline attack.
That is a midline attack, but I have a feeling people are going to want to do more things than that with him round 1.
I completely agree, but let's talk about his spender first.
I'll say, before we get to that, we need to talk about his ridiculous spender, Overload the Grid, also energy. This one is a range of 3, strength of 6, which doesn't sound like a lot when it costs 4 power. However, this has a really cool ability attached to it that we haven't seen before. When creating the dice pool for this attack, you may destroy a terrain feature of size 3 or less within range 3 of this character. Not hard to be within range 3 of a terrain feature. If you do, add dice to the attack roll equal to the destroyed terrain feature's size. So it's just like, hey, here's Smash, the team tactic card, where you get to destroy a terrain piece within range 1 and add that many dice to your attack rolls for that turn.
Mm-hmm.
His spender just kind of gets to do that, but at range 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems good.
Seems real good.
Seems real good. You know what's fun about this? So Brotherhood and I have a love-hate relationship in that I hate it. People love playing it against me. So, yeah, this feels really good when Magneto's on the table and he really wants those constructs. You can be like, nope, that construct's mine now. I'm going to get 2 extra dice. That feels good.
Yeah, doing it into Brotherhood, taking away somebody's cover. So many cool things with this one.
So that one that you mentioned right there, Nate, taking away someone's cover, because this is a range 3 attack. So someone could be like behind a building, or you still have to have line of sight, I guess, to target them in the first place, but could be having cover from a nice big building, right? Like the old Daily Bugle building that we've all seen. You could be like, okay, cool. That's mine now. You no longer get cover, and I'm about to hit you with 9 dice energy attack.
Yep. All good things.
All bad things if you're the opponent.
No. All good things.
It is all good things. To be fair, this sounds like one of the most fun superpowers in the game. And like, there's not much synergy with this attack and other superpowers. However, if you are playing with an Ultron Metal Tyrant on the board and you don't have the grunts out, well, guess what? You just got them back.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So anyways, Nate, let me ask you this, though. This is four power. Is there ever any reason to use this when there's only a size one in range?
In my opinion, probably not.
Yeah.
Especially as we're about to go over his large array of superpowers, saving the four power for some of the other things that he's able to do. I feel like that's the thing. I'll never say never, because like if it's like, oh man, I have one last attack, today's this character, and it either prevents me from losing the game or it'll make me win the game. Like, yeah, you go all out when you have to go all out. But when you're just in the middle of a game and you're kind of like, huh, I could do this, but I have other things in mind as well, let the other things win.
Yeah, no, I feel that for sure. And those were only two attacks, but I like these attacks here. I think that by and large, simple, concise, and very enjoyable and thematic attacks with what Electro has shown in the comics as being a pretty powerful threat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Also, like, they're just good attacks. I mean, you got a long range builder, along with his kind of like not exactly fragile, but he's not tanky kind of a frame for the character. So, like, you have an attack that's going to let him do what he wants to do, build power, while also staying at range.
Exactly, exactly. And it's one of those things where recently, talking about Overload the Grid specifically, I was at an event in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Shout out to the team up there. Good group of people and a lot of fun. And I was watching a game because I had a buy in around my 3-1 record. Don't let it surprise you. Or 2-1, whatever I was. But yeah, I had a bye. So anyways, I was watching a game against, it was Spider Foes against Malekith Cabal. And there was no terrain in the middle of the board by round 4. And it was kind of funny. And I was like, man, when Electro gets here, it's just going to be even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm cool. Like, that's the thing. I don't know about you, Nate. I think terrain should be impactful on the tabletop, frankly. I think that there should be enough terrain that board edge matters and that there's stuff to do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't necessarily want to overload it and make it a Brotherhood player's dream, but you also, unless you're playing against Brotherhood, you don't want to end up with an empty board kind of a thing.
You mean you don't want to overload the grid?
Ba-dum-ch.
Ba-dum-chum. But what if I wanted to ride the wires, which is the name of his first active superpower? Oh my God, that segue was beautiful. Is an active superpower.
Until you said it, but yeah, go ahead.
Look, man, you know, I gotta make sure everybody knows what's up, right? I don't hit those very often. So when I do, everybody's gotta like, yeah, just revel in it for a second. So anyways, for 2 power, Electro can ride the wires, which is an active superpower. So on his turn, he gets to do this. Choose a terrain feature of size 2 or greater. So no limit. Size 2 or greater within range 3 of this character. This character drops all objective tokens it is holding, then is placed within range 2 of the chosen terrain feature. This superpower can be used only once per turn, thank God. Wow.
Yeah.
I want to just go ahead and say that if you're reading that or hearing that or you read that and you're like, oh, this seems okay, this is probably the most distance in the game.
For how much power?
For just 2.
For just 2.
Yeah. For just 2 power. Oh, wait. And no actions.
Yeah, like, that's... And the other really gross thing about it is it could be any terrain feature, basically 2 or greater. That's so many different things. You got a really long chain link fence. Okay, I guess I'll just ride the fence. You have like the Fisk building from the construction set. Cool. I can move a quarter of the board.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So that's the thing, right? And again, I reiterate, I'm for it, man. Characters that interact with terrain in unique ways, please give me more. Nom, 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 nom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where when I read this, I think to myself, this character, you are never going to know where he's going to be. And you think you're safe with an objective somewhere? You are not.
I mean, yeah, the fact that he can be from range 3 and then place within range 2, including on top of that feature if he just wants to make sure he gets cover. Oh, man.
Yeah. So, Nate, what's the play? Is turn 1, you advanced R&D him some power so he can just do this?
I mean, advanced R&D, any of the several affiliations at this point that feed power. Like, tell me that Brotherhood doesn't want to run him. He's got a unique way to destroy terrain. Magneto feeds him power turn 1 to get him up the board. Like, heck, oh my goodness, you could even just have, oh, you like controlled Electro to the edge of the board. Let Magneto place a construct for him to place off of.
Oh my gosh. That would be amazing. And yeah, that amount of placement, that's a range 5 placement. Right, yeah. There. You just placed him range 5. So, yeah, no. This is insane in a good way. Like, I'm of the mindset that, like, something like this, right? It has a resource cost, which is 2 power, right? His attack is good, not OP. And so it also allows it to where if you go get an extract with him, you have to sacrifice that. I think a superpower like this that didn't have that clause would be utterly broken.
That would be problematic.
But the fact that, okay, cool, Electro wants to be everywhere, well, he can't do that while holding an extract. So I think that this superpower alone really sets up a really fun character and a really versatile character that, based on his more or less average defenses, potentially. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So next superpower that we have here is a reactive superpower. So we've already talked about how reactives work. Live wire. It's a live wire. A little Motley Crue for you guys. I need to not do that kind of thing, Nate. I don't, unprompted.
No, you do you.
I don't know. Do the people like it? I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. That was really bad Motley Crue, by the way. For 2 power, we're going to do live wire. When an enemy character ends a movement within range 3 of this character may use this superpower. Roll 4 dice. The enemy character...
This is dumb.
This is really dumb. The enemy character suffers 1 damage for each crit and hit rolled. Wait a second, Nate.
This is dumb.
Wait, Nate, just hang on a second. I want to make sure that we read this correctly, because we've seen superpowers like this before, right? When someone ends a movement within range 3 of this character, he can do the thing. He rolls 4 dice. The enemy character suffers 1 damage for each crit and wild rolled. No. It's crit and hit.
It costs 3 power.
It's crit and hit, though.
Yeah.
And it costs 2 power, but you also get more faces of the dice. What are we doing
this
here?
This is dumb.
What are we doing?
This is a fantastic ability, especially because foes have already so many of these built into the affiliation with Mysterio, with Kraven to a degree, Green Goblin. Why not? Why not add another one that hits better than any of the other booby trap effects that we've seen and for less power?
Oh, yeah. Look, so we've got Green Goblin, he'll blow up a piece of terrain. There has to be terrain, and the enemy has to be within range 2 of it to suffer a collision, so they still get to roll dice, right? Then you have Mysterio, who he'll tricks and traps you, and it's going to cost you 3 power off of Mysterio, who has a 4 dice builder, and it's crits and wilds, and then, oh, they get to move. You know what? I think that is the difference in the power cost. With Mysterio, you're moving him, so you're getting him kind of safe, right? Whereas Green Goblin, you're potentially doing 4 damage, right? Because they got to roll a dodge. With Rocket, same thing as Mysterio, more or less. You just, you know.
No, you it's the exact same thing as Electros, but just worse.
But just worse because it costs more.
And it's on different results.
And it's crits and wilds. So, yep. Yeah, Nate. This shouldn't be called. This is live wire. I mean, yeah, it's alive. It's a live wire. It's alive. Yeah. Like,
this is a really good superpower.
This is amazing.
And it fits his MO of wanting to be like. So very often earlier in MCP, and still occasionally, you get characters that have a little bit of like a mixed up kit where it's like, hey, we want you to be within range 1 to get this ability off, but also all of the rest of your kit tells you to be at like range 4. Right. Well, Electro's here, he's like, hey, let me throw lightning bolts from far away. Let me ride the wires to get to where I need to be in a sniper's nest or to get away from somebody. And, oh, hey, if you come chase me, let me live wire you as well.
Right, right. And I just want everyone to understand, like, what the damage output of this attack can be, right? So I besmirch 4 dice attacks very regularly. They don't like me very often, unless, like, knock on wood, there's been some recent times where they've hit pretty hard. Like, I had a Gwen attack recently. Her impact webbing did 6 damage.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. That felt real good. But by and large, 4 dice attacks don't like me. So, this, with a crit and hits, you have access to 3 sides of the die instead of 4. And your odds go up pretty successfully that you're going to at least get 1 through. I don't know what the math is on it, Nate. If you do, I would love to hear it. But
1.69 damage.
Whenever you do it. So basically, at least 1 is pretty consistent. So
yep, the chances to do 1 or 2 damage is 50% of the time.
So gross. So what I'm hearing, Nate, is I should never end a movement within range 3 of Electro. That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, you can, but do so at your own peril.
Right. With that being said, Nate, so it says ends a movement. So that is an advance from something like sit rep, right?
Yeah.
Tactics card, that's just one example. That would also be a placement from something like the Scalpel of Strange, correct?
Correct.
Or from the Midnight Sun's leadership, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool. That's also a move action, right?
Well, a move action is an advance. So, yeah, sure, that too.
Don't focus on the wrong part of the story. But not a throw, right?
Oh, no, throws two.
Oh, throws two. Oh, throws two?
Throws two.
Throws are a movement?
Which also then also means pushes.
Right? Oh, that's the one I forgot. Thanks, Nate.
You're welcome.
Man.
It's just all of them.
Throws two.
Throws two.
Okay, yeah. I love it. I'm super here for it. And guess what, kids? We're not done yet because he has another superpower that's reactive called Electrostatic. It's going to cost you 1 power. After an attack targeting this character is resolved that they likely had to move to do, it may use this superpower. If the attacking character is within range 3...
This is also dumb.
Nate! This is a character. If the attacking character is within range 3, it suffers 1 damage.
This is also dumb.
And gains the shock special condition. I mean, cool. Bet, I guess. Nate,
I'm just shaking my head over here. You can't see it, but like the look of like disappointment of like, why is all of this on one character? I'm very excited to get this model on the table. Do not get me wrong. This is going to be a really fun character, but oh my goodness, I do not want to play against him because he is going to annoy the snot out of me.
That's just it, right? So with characters that have something like martial artist and stealth, right? There's like a sweet spot that you want to try to be in to deal with them. Right, whatever that is. It's usually that kind of between range 2, range 3, but you don't want to be too close, you don't want to be too far away, all that stuff, and it's really annoying trying to get into that sweet spot. Electro has the same thing, but in reverse. It's yep. like, cool, don't go within range 3 of him. I hope you brought long-ranged attacks.
Yep, hope you have a range 4 physical attack, maybe rapid fire, but also, like, probably not rapid fire, because as soon as you end up getting shocked from one of his many ways of doing it, apparently, like, just game over, rapid fire character.
Yeah, no joke. If you shock a rapid fire character with Electro, that character better hope they get dazed at some point, or they're going to have to be a sad person taking a shake action.
Yep.
Yeah. So, lastly, because of course, he is immune to shock, which you love to see. And also, because I love it when they do this to characters that move short, because it just makes me laugh, he has flight. So, just, yeah. Yeah. No,
it'll be relevant sometime, hopefully maybe. In a positive way.
I mean, you never know. But, yeah, so Electro and Shocker. We know that they are Spider-Foe's characters, and I think both of these characters from this box, and we haven't even talked about Sandman and Vulture on this podcast yet, but don't worry, it's going to happen. This box is shaping up to be jam-packed full of fun stuff.
Absolutely. As somebody who has gone over the tactic cards in here pretty thoroughly, it's an absolutely fire box. And I can't even necessarily say that I'm, like, jealous, because all of the affiliations that I really enjoy have gotten a similar treatment. But, like, man, what a treat for Spider-Foe's players.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, with this box, obviously this particular episode is focused on these two characters, but with this box as a whole, do you feel like that this is tilting the balance of power? I'm not saying power creep, because I actually don't necessarily feel that way about it, even though Livewire and Electrostatic are two insane things. Electro's ridiculous, but I don't think broken. I will say that.
No, he it, as much as we like pointing out all of the different things that he does, and he does have kind of quote unquote defensive tech through the reactive shock, the dude doesn't want to get close to anybody for a reason. He's very easy to get murked from throws or various other means.
Exactly. So with that in mind, I want to ask you, Nate, do you feel like that this box as a whole vaults or tilts the balance of power towards Spider-Foes in the overall MCP meta? Do you feel like that Spider-Foes is getting that glow up that they've so desperately needed, but also to maybe a point where it's like, whoa, take note, MCP community?
I think it is definitely to the point where the MCP community should take note, but not in a bad way.
Completely agree.
Almost in a way of like, hey, MCP community, look at what the Spider-Foes just got and be looking forward to this kind of a glow up coming to your affiliation soon. Because like Asgard's next, they have their own 4-pack box coming. And if it's anything close to the level of flavor and good character design, unique character design, that we've seen with this, I am nothing but excited for it.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree. And I'm excited for these characters as a whole. And I really, really cannot wait to see what kind of fun stuff people come up with on the tabletop. Because, look, of all the affiliations that these characters could potentially be in, like, let's not even consider the fact that, all right, yeah, they're going to be in Spider-Foes, obviously. Both of, if not all of the characters in this box, could also be affiliated other places. We don't know yet. Yeah,
Criminal Syndicate could absolutely be a thing for a lot of these guys.
Exactly. So when we think about that and how we don't know what else there is with these characters, the world is going to be our oyster. And when you see a character like Electro, he's going to be in a lot of rosters doing a lot of fun stuff. And I'm excited to see where he goes. Same thing with Shocker. And, you know, I'm just, yeah, Nate, it's a brand new day in MCP. And 2024 is hitting the middle just at the perfect note.
Yep, it is coming out the gate strong.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. One thing about both of these characters before we finish off this episode in a very tight 1 hour, I must say. Affiliations not that you would expect for these characters. Let's start with Shocker. For me, honestly, and I know this is probably not going to shock anyone, I legit think that Shocker could be a Web Warrior pretty good. I mean, the ability to help keep them safe by his bubble of disruption to like, okay, cool, we're playing on Gamma. Web Warriors may not really love Gamma all the time, potentially in that fighty situation, which I think they're a little better at that now based on some stuff we haven't talked about yet on the podcast, but that's out there in the wild. I digress. I think Shocker plays really well with the Web Warriors and in general, just kind of anywhere. I think he's a decent little piece.
So as soon as you said Web Warriors, and like we all knew it was coming. I'm looking at the audience saying this, like you knew this was coming, right?
Yes, but I had a legit reason.
I also look at that audience and I see the gif of like one person slaps their forehead, then like you see five people slap their forehead, and then you see like the entire audience slap their forehead.
Yeah,
that's what just took place in my head.
Okay, well you're welcome for that visual. First of
it did make me chuckle. So thank you.
Yeah, but legitimately, I think solid choice there. But where else, Nate, do you think he slides in?
For Shocker in particular, and this is a very broad brushstroke to go with, but any team that is already playing Gamma, Researcher, and Demons Downtown, mm-hmm. Any team that's already wants to be clumped up, this is a piece that can push a favorable matchup in your favor if you're ever in like a mirror match or one of those kind of things. Shocker can disrupt that game or just force attacks away from other important pieces to make sure that their entire team isn't suffering from essentially a free shock.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Another one that I think could be kind of fun, and I think your broad strokes make a lot of sense, but to narrow it down a little bit, Daredevil Defenders, with the way that they like to be kind of real fighty and tight in on each other, you can add Shocker to that roster and say, cool, I'm going to beat you up, but you aren't really going to be as successful beating me up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of fun. Electro, man, you mentioned Brotherhood already. Yes, so many. Again, Defenders, because Wong exists, and be like, okay, cool, here, go fly off of that Sanctum Sanctorum into Never Never Land and shock everybody. I mean, I think Electro is good in a lot of places.
Yeah, basically any of the affiliations that can let him ride the wires round one and very likely put him on the midline to do a double tap electric discharge. Yeah, so I mean everything from Discount Steve's Avengers, Uncanny X-Men with Charles, even Cyclops is honestly to
yeah
like any of the places that can just get him online round one, and from there I don't think he really needs much else to get going.
Yep, 100% agree, 100% agree. So with that, Nate, I've got one more surprise up my pant leg, and that would be, I'm going to also, it's definitely not that. It's a sock. No.
Oh.
It's definitely my toes up my pant leg. That doesn't make any sense. It's a knee. Anyways, I am also going to do a giveaway with the same constraints as the previous one, all those extra bonus entries, all that fun stuff. We're going to do another giveaway for the Gwenum and Best Spider-Man, Ben Reilly, the Scarlet Spider box. So we're going to roll that beautiful bean footage and pick a winner here. And it is going to be Benjamin Grosek. There you go. Benjamin Grosek. So, hi-ho, Benjamin. You just won Gwenum and Scarlet Spider. So, be on the lookout for that. Man, bonus entries for the win, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Congratulations, guys.
Yeah. And look, this is just one of those things where I don't know what came over me today. I was feeling some kind of way about delaying the Bishop and Nightcrawler giveaway. So I just felt like throwing a bunch of stuff out there because I kind of took some time off from giveaways, not for any reason other than just time. And so I wanted to give back. And month of May is so huge with releases for MCP that this just seemed like the best way to do it for me is just to kind of do it on the podcast out of nowhere, and especially rewarding the people that have supported me via Patreon. And look, I understand if you're listening to this and you don't want to do that. That's fine. I get it. It's $1 a month, 12 bucks a year. You get access to the Discord, which is a truly wonderful community. And you might ask yourself, well, why do you have a paywall to get access to your Discord? Other podcasts don't. I'll tell you why. Because trolls don't pay $1. If you're in any of those other Discords, you might have seen some trolls recently. I'm not throwing shade at the Discords themselves. I'm throwing the shade at the fact that trolls exist. And so that's why. That's literally why. Is I want to talk MCP with everyone that I possibly can and foster community around this game, much like you do, Nate. Like, you are the master of community when it comes to MCP. I cannot wait for NashCon. Speaking of, you need to give a spiel about NashCon, so do that real quick.
Yeah, so NashCon is a cool event that started 3 years ago. Can you believe that, Will? There's been three NashCons?
You know, I can believe it, but I really don't remember much of year one, if I'm being honest.
But we are on to our fourth MCP NashCon. We had 64 tickets. I don't want to say regretfully have sold out, because I'm extremely excited that we have sold out. But I am sad that we cannot take in more, kind of a situation.
Absolutely.
But there is a lot more news and information to come, especially because AMG has recently announced their grand tournament series, I guess. I'm not exactly sure what to kind of categorize it as, but basically it's a way for community-led events to get official prize support from Atomic Mass Games, which is really cool. So we've applied to be in that, and depending on if we get accepted to that or not, there's additional information to come. But if you are interested and want to try to come to NashCon, it is in the middle of August. It is three fantastic days of gaming and MCP action, board games, good food, and really, honestly, just good company as well. It's is one of the highlights of it.
Heck yeah.
So if that's something you're interested in, you can find me on Discord. I'm in the HPP Discord. I'm in the Gamer Guild Discord. I'm in several, but tag me. I'm NateGG. And if you want to be put on the waiting list, let me know and we can figure out a way to try to get as many people in as we can if we have people who begin to drop.
Yeah, absolutely. I highly recommend trying to come to NashCon if something opens up, or just to chill. I get it. And that's the thing, like the main tournament on Saturday that would bleed into Sunday isn't the only thing that we're going to be doing. There's going to be stuff on Friday. There is going to be pickup games when people drop. You know, Sunday, if I'm not in top cuts, I'll be playing Judgment. So that's going to be happening. If I'm not too...
That's a very bold claim, Will.
Look, if I have not had one too many the prior night, and there has been a pattern so far, we're, 4 years in, you say?
This will be year four, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I plan on playing Judgment, other stuff, whatever. Come hang out, it'll be a good time. And also, there's Ice Cream Sammy Saturdays. So, we all go down to the Baked Bear. It is so good. Ice cream sandwiches. You don't even know what you're missing. It's amazing. Anyways.
It's real good.
With that said, Nate, thank you so much for being here with us. The me and the suits. And suits, if you're interested, again, check out the Patreon. Patreon.com/houseparty protocol. Like I said, $1 a month, $12 a year. Access to the Discord. Come hang out with the legit best community on the internet. It is amazing. Always something happening over there. We're currently running a gymnastics league. Once that's over, we'll take a short break, and then it'll be tune up for NashCon league time. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to play in that one. And then you also, like I said, you get access to these giveaways and just randomly do stuff every once in a while like this. So here we go. And then also, if you don't want to do that, just make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure that you leave a review, all that fun stuff. Helps other people looking for MCP content find their way here. Tell your friends. I don't think I give away the secret tech, but maybe I do, Nate. So tell your friends, all that fun stuff. Really helps the channel grow and all that good stuff. And then also check out battlekiwi.com for 10% off your first order with them. Use the code PARTYKIWI. And yeah, really great stuff. I love my battle box. Make sure you get the magnetic tray part if you magnetize your models. Really wonderful stuff. We might have some other show partners coming on board pretty soon, which I'm excited to get into and all of that fun stuff. Check out the Credrufi, the wording. I don't know how. Just check the description of the podcast. It's a cool little like hobby station travel thing. I love mine. I love it. I use it way more than I thought I would. And like I move from my main hobby desk to my dining room table constantly. And it really helps. Really helps. So just having something that makes transportation easy and accessible so that you can get access to your hobby is wonderful. And you can get like 10 or 15% off with them with the code in the podcast. Click the link, use the code, do the thing. And yeah, Nate, where can people find you?
Guys, you can find me personally over on YouTube at the Gamers Guild, where there's usually some sort of Marvel Crisis Protocol content going on. As well, you can find other Gamer Guild content in the form of podcasts by searching on whatever your podcast platform of choice is, the Gamers Guild. We have everything from Shatterpoint, MCP, and are even dipping our toes into Star Wars Unlimited, the new trading card game, which is a whole lot of fun, and Will and I may have spent way too much money on already.
Oh, way too much. Way too much. It's a problem. But anyways, with that said, Suits, thank you so much. Party on, Nate.
Party on, Will.
And power down, Suits.